No matter the size, age, or activity level of your best friend, you want a dog food that's natural, feeds great, and is full of all the goodness you demand. That's what's packed into every bag of Country Vet Naturals. Country Vet Naturals is just what the name says. Natural goodness in every bag. Grain-free? Sure. There's a grain-free cat and dog food and treats. Learn more and find a dealer at countryvetnaturals.com. Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets. Trusted by owners.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Taro International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit taro.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Taro team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aurion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AUREON.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
So I sit down with KCCI-TV newsman Marcus McIntosh, and we talk about all kinds of things. My first question to Marcus was, so what is it that's so outstanding and so memorable about Marcus McIntosh?
That is a question. Wow. I guess that I try to be honest with my reporting, getting both sides of the story. I don't try to make people uncomfortable with interviews. You know, some interviews you want to get because they're important. And, you know, I feel like I'm not the kind of person that's going to, you know, keep calling, keep knocking on that door. I will ask. And if you say no, thank you for your time. I'll give you a card. If you'd like to talk in the future, please give me a call. I just don't badger people. I just think that, you know, kind of what you see is what you get. I'm a family man. You know, I volunteer at the YMCA, the John R. Grubb YMCA on Monday nights, trying to mentor and help the kids stay on the straight and narrow. I've been involved with things with my kids growing up, from coaching t-ball to basketball to baseball to football. Just those are some of the things I enjoy doing. And 18 years. Man, I remember when I came here 18 years ago, it was January. It was almost the last day of January.
And where from?
Super Bowl Sunday, from Springfield, Massachusetts. My three boys were young at the time. My oldest son, who's now 23, he just started kindergarten. And my twin boys, I believe, were 2 or 3 years old. And we pull into the hotel, and I kind of leave them in the car and say, hey, honey, grab the kids. The Super Bowl's on. We got to watch it. I think it was St. Louis against Tennessee, I believe, some 18 years ago. But, yes, we moved here from Springfield, Massachusetts. Before that, we lived in Bend, Oregon. Before that, it was Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Before that, Monroe, Louisiana.
And why did you stick in Des Moines?
Well, we moved here at the time from Springfield, Massachusetts, like I mentioned, because the boys were young. My father was living here at the time working for a healthcare company. Most of my family is in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minnesota. And my wife's family is on the West Coast in Bend and Corvallis, Oregon. So from Massachusetts, that's two plane rides. From Des Moines, it's one plane ride.
Got it.
So it just brought us closer to family. Although I didn't get up to Minnesota as much as I thought I would, maybe once, twice a year. We always go back to Oregon for 2 weeks during the summer to spend a week with my wife's parents in both Corvallis and Bend, Oregon. So that's what we came back, because it was closer to family.
What has changed in the news reporting business, Marcus? And you're not the reporter, by the way, and I know this about you. You're not the gotcha guy.
No, I'm not the gotcha
guy. You're
not
the gotcha guy. I'm going to set up this interview, and in about third question, I'm going to zing you with something.
No, I'm the guy who likes to dig and likes to get the stories first and fast, but I'm not going to, you know, bring in on one thing and try to slip something else in there. When you see me coming, you know I got the story.
So what is it about the news business, particularly the television news business, that's changed so much in just the 18 years you've been here in Des Moines?
The biggest change, the internet. The biggest change, social media. I can research a lot of stories right from my desk by Google, by Wikipedia, by, you know, certain websites. And the social media aspect is just exploded with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We use all that to try to drive viewers to our stories, to drive viewers to the station. The social media aspect has just exploded, and it kind of caught me off guard. The younger reporters coming in, they're like, oh, all Twitter.
Oh, we got
and
this,
they're
man.
Snapchat. And I'm like, what's Snapchat? They're tweeting and all that. I'm like, I have no clue what they're doing. I have them. They have to set up pages for me. So it's like, oh, man, I've never counted on the younger people so much. But they're on top of things, and my kids help me. So it's all about, you know, tweeting what's going on, tweeting what you're doing. If you see something, take a picture, Snapchat a picture, tweet a picture, Instagram the picture, Facebook the picture. It's just get it out there.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing, and we found this in our broadcast as well, people want the news on their time.
Yes,
they want it wherever they happen to be, on an airplane, in the middle of the night, during the day. So hanging around for the 12 o'clock news or the 5 o'clock, whatever it happens to be, is almost passé in a lot of places.
That's very accurate. That is very accurate because people have those smartphones. They have their computers. They want it at the click of their fingers. So that's why a lot of our stories will be on the KCCI website. A lot of our stories we'll put on our Facebook page, or we'll tweet them, or we'll Instagram them, or we'll what's the other one? Snapchat it. So right. It's just about getting it out there, because we know people don't want to wait around till 5, 6, 9, and 10 for the news.
And that change in broadcasting, whether it's TV or radio or whatever it happens to be, really puts a lot more work on you, doesn't it? I mean, it used to be set up and read the news or do the story and done.
Yes, it does. It'd be take all day for the story. Now it's okay. You know, as you're heading out to the story, Facebook, tweet, yeah. Snapchat, what you're doing. As you're into the story, take pictures of what you're doing. Snap, put that on social media. And kind of you want to drive them to the 5 and 6 o'clock news, and then your stories will be on your social media site, so they'll get it then as well. But it's really more immediate now, the news is, than it's ever been.
Marcus McIntosh, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the television news business, the news business in particular, and how segmented it's all become. You know, when I was growing up, and I'm ancient, when I was growing up, we had 3 channels. We had ABC, NBC, CBS, and maybe.
And if you had that UHF channel, you can get those other channels.
Exactly.
The UHF antenna, rather, you can get those other channels as well.
But today, you know, you sign up with, I don't care what the cable company is or whomever, but they've got, they can segment you into 300, 400 channels, for crying out loud. So that has an impact on all of this as well.
It does. And the biggest thing for us with all that going on and all those options is we have to do local news better than anybody. We have to get the stories before anybody's getting them, or get the stories that no one else is getting. That's what they're going to find from, that's where they want their local people, their local news stations, where they want to find out what's going on local. They want weather, and they want to see local sports. They can get, you know, big booming home runs from the Chicago Cubs or the Minnesota Twins. They can get that on ESPN.
Right.
What they can't get is a story, I believe Scott Reich did it earlier this week, about a, I want to say, 14, 15-year-old kid who gets hundreds of foul balls and balls given to him at the iCubs game by positioning himself where he'll catch the balls, and or people will throw them to him as they're coming off the field. That's what people are getting that they're not going to get for the national things. That's what is driving people to the local news.
Marcus, you said something about weather. I'm originally from Detroit.
Okay.
And so when I moved out to this part of the country, I'm going, what the heck is with these people and weather? I mean, Springfield? I mean, people are not glued to the television in Springfield, I wouldn't imagine, would they?
They are glued because there's something, I don't know what it is exactly, but they're called nor'easters.
I've been
through a few of those, and it's like you're on from the morning until night, and people are glued to the TVs for that because they want to see. Of course, the kids want to see, close school. They're watching for that ticker to go across to see if their school is closed, because you get hammered with snow, you get hammered with all the wind. So it's nor'easters in Massachusetts, so that's what they're kind of glued for. People really want to see what's going on in the weather, to plan their day, what they're going to wear, if they have a picnic planned, if they have something planned at night.
Yeah, well, it's amazing here. When I moved here, I'm going, what is it with these people and the weather? But I also moved here when they were still playing 6-on-6 girls basketball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've been around a while. All right. We've been talking with Marcus about the news business. And one final news question for you.
Okay.
And I think this is really important for people to consider. Over the recent few months, the media continues to get bashed time and time again. They're evil, it's fake, all of these things. And we as journalists are right smack dab in the middle of that fight. What would you like people to know about the media that maybe it's not being said?
What's not being said is, I mean, people are going to like the people that are going to like delivering the news. You have to be, it has to be somebody you trust. I would hope that there are people in Central Iowa, throughout Des Moines and the Central Iowa area, who will say, you know, it's not fake news here. We are covering stories that people seem to be interested in. We're covering stories that people seem to want to know about. It's just hard because if something happens, let's say, on a national level, that somebody does something wrong, somebody does something bad, that all trickles down to everybody. So it's not just, let's say, I'm just going to throw it out there. Let's say CBS News makes a mistake in New York, but we're a CBS station, and that trickles down to all the CBS stations in the country. Well, it's like, well, you guys got that story wrong or weren't correct on that story. And you can't just sit there and say, well, no, that was actually somebody at the network. You just have to say, hey, we apologize. We're working to get better. Continue to trust in us because we're doing what we can to improve things. So you can't just say, well, that wasn't me, but it's the CBS, your CBS. There's no distinction there at all.
But there is so much alternative reality out there in the business. And it really is a shame that so many individuals, no matter where they fall on the political spectrum, are so siloed into whatever they think is right.
True.
You know, and that's problematic. All right. I want to switch gears with you, Marcus. You got a side hustle going on.
I've got a lot of side hustles going on.
So this is a business conversation. Tell me about that. What's going on?
Okay. Well, I have a clothing line. I do broadcasting and commentating for. I have a podcast, of course. I do commentating for MMA fights in the area. I'm a track announcer for track meets during the summer. I'm doing four track meets this summer, the state, the regional AAU tournament, the state AAU tournament. I'll be track announcing those. I'll come to your house and read the newspaper for you if you'd like. I collect cans. I have two kids in college right now, so I'm trying to make as much as I can, trying to save as much as I can, because I have one more child in school. She is a sophomore in high school, so trying to save up to send her to school as well. So I am doing all the hustling I can.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Tell me a little bit about, and one of the most interesting things that you just told me, I get the broadcasting, I get the track stuff, you know, I get the voiceover work, I get, because I still do all that stuff too, on a side hustle as well. But what really intrigues me is a clothing line.
Yes.
Tell us about what's going on there.
Well, I see T-shirts with just about every other name out there and think, you know what? I could have my name on a T-shirt. Hopefully people would buy those as well. It just seems like another avenue to go to, another way to enhance my income and just something that I kind of believe in. You know, the Sean John, you've seen all the Sean John sweatshirts and T-shirts and, you know, Nike, of course, and all the other, Carl Canal, the other clothing lines. It's like, you know what? Why not Marcus McIntosh?
Why not?
Trying to make a little bit of extra money. If people, you know, like and trust me, hopefully they'll buy a T-shirt or a sweatshirt or a hoodie, something.
Something.
Exactly.
Whatever it is, buy it. Well, I think that's really unique. I mean, that's a way of branding you and also accelerating your side hustle at the same time.
Exactly.
Which is kind of cool. So you're really capitalizing, if I can say that, capitalizing on your name recognition and who you are.
Mm-hmm. And another big part of that is, I hope I don't start a trend here, but I've seen no one else here do it. So if I can get in first.
Have I shown you my T-shirt?
I'm waiting for the boxers to come out, but you know, that's a whole other story. If I get in first and try to make some waves, make some moves to get things done, you know, maybe other people will follow, or maybe I'll be the only one. I'll create a monopoly.
So other than the clothing having your name on it, are you involved in the design?
I am. I'm involved in the design, how they're laid out. And it's a lot more intricate than I thought. So I take the designs and the layouts and show them to my daughter, who's 15 years old, and she tells me what she thinks. Well, you know, I like that, but not that. Change that. Mm. No, that's ugly. Don't use that. So
you have a committee working on this.
I have a committee of one, a 15-year-old, who's basically my boss, telling me what to do, what's good, what's not good, what people will like.
Marcus McIntosh, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking all about his business, not only the television business, but also his side hustles as we go. You know, and that's kind of a thing. I think we all have got that going on.
You have to.
Why?
You have to make the money. I mean, you know, say what you and I are making.
Are you telling me, wait. 18 years here in the media, I mean, they're not writing you a big $200,000 check a week?
I wish. If they were, I would still be on the side hustle. But, you know, what you're making
right. Why would you still
because what you're making right now, what any of us are making right now, 20, 30 years ago, you're doing extremely well.
Right.
But inflation, the cost rising, you know, the salaries aren't keeping up with that. So you need to be able to make more money. And I would still do that side hustle just because, you know, it's something else to do. It's another way to get yourself out there. It's another way to just, you know, put more money in the bank for that nest egg that you're going to need eventually.
Well, the other thing, too, I think, if you're a creative type and if you're inquisitive and you're really interested in the world of business, you do this stuff.
Right.
Because I think that those of us, I don't care how old you are, I really do believe that if you've experienced entrepreneurism in some level, some way, you're going, I like that. I like the security of getting the paycheck, but I also like the opportunity to dabble in something else that will bring me not only creative satisfaction, but also some monetary satisfaction.
Exactly. And everybody, you know, when you're in college, when you're in high school, you always dream about working for yourself.
Yeah, well,
you want to work for yourself. You want to be your own boss. And if you have to take other avenues to get there, take those avenues. As long as they're legal, as long as you're not hurting anyone, I say, why not?
You know, there are days, though, Marcus, that I'm driving by a McDonald's and going, you know, that gig looks pretty good. All I have to do is say you want fries with that.
There are days I drive by McDonald's and think, man, if I'd have invested 30 years ago, yeah, where would I be sitting right now?
Marcus McIntosh, ladies and gentlemen, has been on the Business News Hour. We covered a lot of ground, brother, in a short period of time.
And if I'd like to ask you a question. Said you came here from Detroit, correct?
Yeah.
Were you around for the days of Bill Bonds?
Oh, yeah.
WXYZ, ABC?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard some tremendous people. He was like the king of Detroit news for so many years.
You know, there was a number of stations. And, you know, what's really interesting, we're back on media here. Which is kind of fun. Oh, that's fine. You know, in Detroit, we didn't get the local news until 11 o'clock at night.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I moved to the Midwest where the nightly news is on at 10 o'clock. And I'm going, no wonder everybody came to work sleepy in Detroit because we were waiting for the news. That didn't end until 11:30, for crying out loud. You know, I'm sawing logs, baby, by 10:30 usually. And so that is an interesting thing. But Bill Bonds and WXYZ and so many of those pioneers, you know, mm-hmm. I saw them all. I remember a guy who was with the ABC affiliate there, and his name was Sonny Elliott. He did the weather. He was doing weather on a chalkboard.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, wow. This is all before all the stuff
all
that
the
we
fancy
have
graphics
yeah.
and packages.
And but it was really cool because he would be funny at the same time. Do you know he did weather for the same station for 45 years? Yeah.
That's a good run.
Yeah, that is a good run, and he, well loved. And Sonny Elliott, what a name
wow.
that was, and what a great guy he was at the same time. Good stuff.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, man.
Anytime.
I appreciate it. Let's do this again. We'll have to have you out to lunch and dig deeper.
I like to eat. Who's paying?
The restaurant does.
Okay. I really like to eat then.
There's a
no one. Salad for me.
Marcus McIntosh, ladies and gentlemen, he has been on the Business News Hour. Thanks for listening. What a great time. That was Marcus McIntosh again from TV8 KCCI here in the Des Moines Metro. We had a great time. We really do. We got to go out to lunch and dig deeper into his story. Be a lot of fun. All right, we've got to step aside, find out what happened today and why on Wall Street. All that is coming up next here on the Business News Hour. All the world, all the